ever wanted to break out of your cubicle and into a business where you can call the shots? You Break Guy Fix is looking for passionate self-starters interested in a franchise opportunity in the booming electronics repair industry. At You Break Guy Fix, we help reconnect people to the devices that they rely on so that they can get back to what matters most. This is a big responsibility. And from the moment you join our family, our franchisees are provided with the resources and support to bring affordable and convenient electronics repair to your community. Did we mention that with amazing partners like Samsung and Google, You Break I Fix franchisees also have access to the highest quality parts and personalized training out there, as well as specialized tools? It's true. And it's also easy to visit youbreakifix.com/franchising and learn more about your big break at your very own You Break I Fix.
Hey, this is Fred from Cowboy Mouth, and you're listening to Tina and Jeff on Floors Truly.
Good evening, beautiful people, and happy Tuesday. This is Tina and Jeff with this week's episode of Floors Truly. Hey, Jeff, happy Tuesday. How are you?
It's the holiday season.
Are you ready for Santa Claus?
I guess. I think that I've been bad this year, so I don't think I'm getting anything. But I'm ready for him anyway.
3 more days to Christmas. I cannot believe it.
Really snuck up on us, and at the same time crept its way here to people like you that love Christmas.
And that's exactly what it is. It's just been such a crazy year, and then we finally get to the joyous part of the season and Christmas and everything that comes along with that, and it flies by, and it does that every year. But I was kind of hoping, you know, with everything that happened
this year. It's the opposite of hurry up and wait.
Yeah. So. It's the opposite. But of course, you know, we 3 days till Christmas. Today marks exactly 2 weeks to Twelfth Night, which is the kickoff to carnival season. So we just, it's exciting. I mean, I'm sad for Christmas to be over with, but then it's like, I really want it to be New Year's Eve because I want 2020 out of here. And then of course, Mardi Gras and everything that comes with that, and king cake and just, you know, all the goodies. But it's just, I'm going to be sad once Christmas is over. I really am.
Oh, I know. And it signals is the start of another year, ready to start over, get rolling, and that's it. Hopefully
make resolutions we never stick to.
I'm not making any resolutions this year. The resolution is for, in fact, the clock needs to make the resolution, not us this time. You know what I mean? So I think that everybody is ready to put this year behind us, and let's see what tidings 2021 will bring to us.
I had to laugh because when I was going over ideas for the show over the weekend, somebody had posted a yay or nay question I'd seen on social media. Do you watch Christmas movies after Christmas is over? So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, do you mean like a day or two? Do you mean like a week? Do you mean like a month? Like, you know, they're built up on our DVR. What does that mean exactly? And then of course, in that discussion, you start talking about all the other, you know, Christmas movies and the holiday specials and of course songs. And then it comes into this big discussion. And I said, oh, I'm going to pose this question to our listeners, which I did on social media about the great debates of Christmas movies. And so of course there, you know, I love pretty much all the Christmas movies. There's quite a few that I watch over and over and over during the holiday season. And then some I'll just watch once, like Elf. When Elf is on, I could watch Elf over and over. I could watch A Christmas Story over and over.
Yeah.
But
I watch Elf all year long. It doesn't.
Yes. Matter, it's such a cute movie. It really is. And Christmas Eve night is tradition. I bake cookies on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve night, we get hot cocoa. We stay up most of the night. We watch A Christmas Story. Usually I'll watch Bad Santa after that if it comes on late. If not, I have the DVR. That's one of my other favorite Christmas movies. Yeah. I don't like the sequel. I feel like they made a sequel to Bad Santa just to try to make some money because the sequel is terrible, but the original is a classic.
The original is great. Yeah.
It is so good. It makes me laugh still to this day. And then, you know, of course you've got like Scrooge and A Christmas Carol, the Grinch, but the big question, the great debate, and it seems like this happens every year, is Die Hard. Everybody loves Die Hard. Everybody loves Bruce Willis and that whole franchise. But it's set at Christmas. So I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked a lot of our listeners. Do you think Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
Look, Die Hard is a fantastic movie. And start to finish, it's captivating. Bruce Willis is fantastic. It's got a great storyline. It's well written. However, for everyone listening, it is a Christmas movie. And I'll tell you why. Because it is set at a holiday party. The guy's trying to reconcile with his family, which is at the holidays, which is a very Christmas thing. And it also has plenty of Christmas hats and Santa Claus references and all that kind of stuff. It is something you can classify as a Christmas movie, and I would do so. This debate will go on forever.
I really think it will, because you see it every year. And most people are in agreement with you and I. It is a Christmas movie. One of my friends on Facebook had made a point, and I knew this already, but I didn't, I guess, like resonate it with it being Christmas related until he said it. And I said, oh, good point. John McClane's wife's name is Holly.
Holly. Look at that.
And I knew her name was Holly, but you know, after looking at the whole great debate and all the reasons why it is and isn't, then I was like, oh, another reason. Her name is Holly.
See, you're not even reaching at that point. You're just grabbing, you know.
It's just right there in front of you, and you're just like, oh yeah, good point. And of course, like somebody also did point out that the director came out and said it is a Christmas movie. So we can't argue with the director at all, can we?
Well, you can never argue with a director. Have you ever met one? They want to do nothing but argue. But it's the same argument with Home Alone. Home Alone is not technically a Christmas movie, but it is. It's because of the setting, the way things go, mm-hmm. the storyline. And I'll give you another one. Here's one that people often forget, but I say is a Christmas movie, and that's Trading Places.
Ah, yes.
Trading Places.
An oldie, but a very much a goodie.
It is an oldie, but it is a movie that I will watch anytime it's on. And, you know, Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, it is a classic. And I'm telling you, if anybody out there has not seen it, Trading Places is an amazing film. But
it really is.
It's a Christmas movie. It's a Christmas movie because of everything that's kind of happening around it. Now, you could encompass like New Year's into that, but it is a holiday season movie. And I never hear anybody put it in their list.
No. You know? And here's one that was brought up to me. And in all honesty, I have not seen it yet. I do have it on the DVR. It came on, I think, 2 or 3 nights ago. I did record it for this exact reason. One, because I'd always wanted to see it. And two, because of the topic of discussion that we're having today, I wanted to see, you know, what I'm missing. But Love Actually was another one that was brought up to me and said, did I feel like it was a Christmas movie because it's set during Christmas? And I had to be honest. I said, I know of the movie. I know what it's about, but I've never seen all of it. I've seen just maybe like a couple of clips. So that is on my to watch this list this week is Love Actually.
Well, you know, there is set at Christmas and there. All right, so I'll give you a Christmas movie that is not a Christmas, like Office Christmas Party is not a Christmas movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's a funny movie, but it's not a Christmas movie. And I think the difference is that the spirit of the season, the spirit, we know a spirit is really something you don't see. It's got to have feeling. The spirit of the season really doesn't exist in that movie.
It's a very cranky movie. It's not for kids. It's not something you watch with your kids. But if you haven't seen it, it is absolutely hilarious. It is Jennifer Aniston, Jason Bateman. It is so funny. I laugh every time I watch it. I love Jennifer Aniston. I have forever since Friends. Everybody knows who knows me knows I'm a huge Friends fan. I love Jennifer Aniston, and she is just a trip in this movie. And of course, that's like their second or third movie that they did together. And it's very funny. It's not kid friendly. It is set at Christmas. I would not say that it's a Christmas movie, but I'm also the type of person, like, if you say, hey, look, it's set at Christmas, it's really cute, I'm not going to argue that much passionately against it just because of the premise. But you're right, it doesn't have a lot of Christmas spirit until like the very end. But I mean, it's a cute movie. It's funny. I mean, there's quite, of course, you have your traditional ones, Frosty, Rudolph, The Grinch, A Wonderful Life, which I'm in the minority here. That's usually, they say that every year they'll give the top five Christmas movies and Wonderful Life's up there. And I don't really care for that. I really don't. I wouldn't put in my list A Wonderful Life is number one.
I put that in the Star Wars category for me, which is I've never seen it.
I've seen it once years ago. I can't watch it. It's so depressing to me. And that's why I can't give it the number one spot, because it's such a depressing movie. And I feel like, you know, and of course, you know, we make jokes about the Lifetime and Hallmark movies, but at least they're feel good movies. Well, you know, at least after you watch it, you don't feel so sad. And because they're feel good, happy, cheesy movies, which is usually during the Christmas season, that's what you want. But A Wonderful Life is just so very sad until the end. And it's just, it's so much involved with it that I just feel like, no, you know, it's not up there for me. To me, A Christmas Story is like my favorite.
Oh, Christmas Story is fantastic.
I mean, it's great. Adorable. And you've got generations of kids growing up now. You know, when we were younger, we watched it. And then now you got kids growing up watching it. And that'll be a movie. That's a classic that 20, 30 years from now, kids will be watching it and still enjoying it.
But here's a question. Is Nightmare Before Christmas a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie? Is that?
Guess what? I've never seen it.
What?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. It's not my thing. It's creepy to me. It's not my thing. I would say more Halloween just because of what it looks like.
I can tell you this. It is still a fantastic story and it's very well done. I think it is still more of a Halloween movie. But it's one of those that I think just kind of fits the time period between Halloween and Christmas. Just like I think another movie that fits that time period is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the great John Candy movie. Yeah. That is a great just end of the year holiday time. It is somewhere, it's nondescript, but it's not a Christmas movie and it's not a Thanksgiving movie or Halloween movie. It's just in that time period and everybody wants to be home for the holidays. And I think that's a big deal. So
that's another great one. If y'all haven't seen it, I'm telling you, you're just proving the point that they don't make movies, good movies like they used to.
Oh, we say that, but Elf isn't that old, Tina.
It's like, not.
Elf is our Christmas story, our generation, the people that are in the 50s to I'd even say the late 20s, the 50s to the 30s, that big gap, the elf is going to go on for eternity, just like A Christmas Story has, just like Miracle on 34th Street has, just like everything else. It's going to go on.
You know, Elf is 17 years old. You say it's not that old, but it is 17 years old.
It's a pinnacle. Well, what I mean is it's a pinnacle film. Elf is a pinnacle film. And I think the last Christmas film that was a pinnacle film prior to that is Christmas Vacation.
Yes, you know? National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a classic too. I think a lot of people watch that one. There's quite a few scenes, which I'm not going to quote on the podcast. Everybody knows I've seen it, which scenes they are, that are just so funny. So very funny.
That's true. But I have to say, Tina, the funniest thing I saw all week was I'm so glad that, and I'm going to go real quick to this. I'm so glad that Congress signed all of us up for the Jelly of the Month Club this year. So that's the only thing I had to say on that. I really had to bring that up.
Well, moving on to some other funny, crazy stuff. How about some of the holiday songs that are out there? I had asked some of our listeners what are their favorite songs, which ones that drive them crazy, like me, the hippopotamus song. I don't know what it is about that song. It just really bothers me every time I hear it on the radio. I roll my eyes. Although Dan introduced me to a version that Leanne Rimes apparently remade a few years ago, which I never heard up until he let me listen to it. And it's a very jazzy version of it. And I actually like that one, but the regular one that was made years ago with the little girl, that song would just drive me nuts every time I hear it. So I don't know why. I think it's just maybe because they overplay it, or it's just to me, not that traditional, you know, Christmassy song we're used to hearing all the time, even though she says, "I want a hippopotamus for Christmas," which I just think is crazy to begin with. But that, yes, that's like my personal like no song. So what song bothers you that you hear on the radio over and over and over again?
Dominic the Donkey. Dominic the Donkey is considered a Christmas song, and it's from, I think it's back from like the late 50s, early 60s. And it's a horrible song, but it is a Christmas song. But I'll tell you what, I will take Dominic the Donkey over the Nouveau Christmas songs that have come out, which is like, I'll have decorations and I'm really sad, but I love you. I'm like, I don't want to hear all that. Give me the standards and then give me personally the 12 Yats of Christmas.
I was going to say Benny Grunch and the Bunch. Yeah.
Give me Benny Grunch and the Bunch. I think I talked about it last week. We went to Lafayette Park. We drove through. We saw lights. Well, I turned on Benny Grunch and the Bunch, and I turned on the 12 Yats of Christmas, and my 12-year-old goes, "I've been waiting to hear this song." And I'm going, well, you're not going to find it going through all the junk y'all listen to on YouTube, but it is a great song and it captures so much. And that album, that first Christmas album that Benny mm-hmm. Grunch put out, it was so much good stuff. If I Won the Lottery for Christmas, Oh Little Town of Destrehan, like it goes on, Christmas yes. in Chalmette.
For anyone who's listening who is outside of Louisiana and does not know what we're talking about, go Google it now. Benny Grunch and the Bunch. They're a local band here. They have a awesome Mardi Gras CD, awesome Christmas CD, The 12 Yats of Christmas. Go listen to that song. It is so funny. Hit me up afterwards on social media and tell me what you think. It is just so New Orleans. I mean, just there's so many references. It is just, it's the cutest, funniest song. And it's just, it's perfect for us for Christmas. It really is.
It is perfect for us. I tell you, all the songs they put out, I say, one of my favorite lines is, "Siding on the side, washer in the rear, Santa and his reindeer used to live right here." I love that. I love it.
That because probably who are listening to it's like, what are y'all talking about? A lot of houses here have carports and not garages. So the washing machine and the dryer are in the laundry room, which is outside of your house in underneath the carport in a separate room. So you actually have to go out of your house into your carport, into the laundry room. So I think that's where that reference comes from.
I think that's where it's at. But you know what? It makes perfect sense to us. We don't question it. We go, oh, yeah, I know that one, you know.
My favorite, and I know we're getting off topic because we're talking about Mardi Gras in a second, but my favorite Mardi Gras song by them is "There's No Place to Pee on Mardi Gras Day." Because well, that is like so true.
But they hit the nail on the head. And one of the things this year that as I was listening to, you know, Benny Grunch has the song "Mattery, Oh Mattery." Yep. And one of the things they talk about is Lakeside Mall. And, you know, it's Christmas time when you see the viewing stands for Mardi Gras going up. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my God, this is such a weird year because
there's
no stands going up. You go, this is not feel right yet, you know?
There's no bigger stress than it being a few days before Christmas and you try to go to Lakeside Mall to go shopping and part of Veterans is already barricaded off. The viewing stands are there. The barricades are up. There's a lot of private companies that have, and I don't really know what to even call it, a pavilion, I guess, that they build for them to be under.
Private companies.
That
Jefferson Parish public officials.
Yes. And they're all right there by Lakeside Mall. And there's no bigger stress than trying to get into that parking garage right there in front of Macy's. And the traffic is backed up and people are pulling off the side of the road. And it's just, there's construction everywhere. This week is when all that usually takes place. And because we're so uncertain of what's going to happen with the parade season, if there's going to be a parade season in Jefferson Parish, we already know there's probably not going to be in Orleans. I think they have not started to construct any of that stuff, which is really not a big deal because it doesn't take them long to do it. But we're just so used to that right now is that, you know, this week, all that would be being, you know, put up at this time. And it's not. It's,
well, you know, it's funny because in the rest of the country, Christmas is kind of the pinnacle end of the year, the holiday season, whatever. For us, we're like, all right, it's Christmas, this is great, and then we go into New Year's, and then 6 days later, bam, carnival season starts, and we're now like Mardi Gras is right there. So you have Christmas, and then New Year's is a day that you just, you know, you have a party, you have a couple of beverages and or several beverages, and then you continue on to Mardi Gras. But the rest of the world doesn't really do that. They don't understand it. That, you know, Christmas and New Year's comes and they're like, oh, we look forward to President's Day. I don't know what you do. Valentine's Day, I guess, is your next big thing. But, you know, we've got Mardi Gras, which is a massive celebration, but this year it's all a little different.
It's all up in the air right now. So we don't know exactly what's going to be of Mardi Gras. We're going to be on a little break for the holiday. And when we come back, that'll be like literally 12th night. But unfortunately we just don't know what that's going to mean right now. I know Jeff and I talked about the crew of Red Beans on the show right when COVID started and all their amazing efforts to help frontline workers and to help out of gig workers and the programs that they were doing. And now they have come back and started another program to help for the Mardi Gras artists that are out of work, obviously, because they're normally this time of the year, they're doing stuff with the floats. So they have hire a Mardi Gras artist.com. And what they're doing is trying to form a crew called Crew of House Floats. So if we can't have parades, you can go have someone come and decorate the front of your house. And that way people can come. I think they're trying to do like 100 houses in the area. And that way people can go out and drive around and basically, you know, see some sense of Mardi Gras celebration, I guess
so
you can say.
If you'd like an update on that, they have already signed up over 500 homes to take place in the Crew of Red Beans.
So they've exceeded their goal.
They have exceeded their goal.
Times. That's
now,
awesome.
Here's the issue. And this was the problem with Mardi Gras to begin with. So if you go back in the roots of Mardi Gras, parades were really neighborhood celebrations. So you had crews that were staged all throughout the metro area. You had crews that ran in Gentilly. You had crews that ran in New Orleans East. You had crews that were in the city. You had crews that were in Metairie. And then you had crews that were in Harahan, that were in Kenner. Everything was neighborhood centric. Well, because of the police presence required, the emergency and first responders that are all required to be there. And just to try to make things a little more simple, years ago, they pushed all of those things together. So if you were in Orleans Parish, which encompasses, you know, it encompasses New Orleans East, it encompasses Algiers, all of those areas, those parades, Gentilly, et cetera, all of those parades were put into a standardized route. Same thing in Jefferson Parish, same thing on the North Shore. Parades had a standardized route by parish versus by city. So now you have one route in Jefferson, you have one to two routes in Orleans, You've got one to two routes on the North Shore, and that's how it works. However, what now the crew of Red Beans has an issue with, and the parade of homes here, is that do you just have everybody on the porch all the time? Because the goal is that people can drive past your house and feel like they're at a parade. And I think we're going to see this carnival really go back to the neighborhoods. This is, you know, this Harahan, where I live, which is in Jefferson Parish, but a suburb of New Orleans, has already got 20 homes signed up for the crew of house floats. And they're going to have to just arrange it. Here they are on the map. Here's the way you drive through it. You know, make it happen. And I think it's a really cool concept.
I do too. I think it's something that can, if the funding, I should say, is still there in years to come, I think it's something that once, you know, we do get back to normalcy and have our traditional parades, I still think this is something that they should do. I think it's fun. It's just another thing to celebrate with Mardi Gras and carnival season. I like the idea. I like the concept. I, a lot of things that we have discovered through this COVID pandemic are things that are going to stick with us even after it's over with. I think this is a good one. I think this is one that they can continue. That's if the funding can continue, because the Crew of Red Beans has done so much. I mean, they raised over $1 million for, you know, feed the front line, and then they had feed the second line, and now they've got the crew of house floats. And the first house, actually, they posted, go check them out on Instagram at Red Beans Parade, but the first house has already been done, and you can see different images, artist imageries of houses that are going to be decorated in the next couple of weeks. But definitely check them out. I mean, and then if you want to help donate, that they've got the link as well too. But I think it's a cool thing. I think it's a cool concept that needs to continue.
And it's twofold. Well, it's really threefold. Number one, Mardi Gras is a party that we put on for ourselves. We throw it. It is the greatest free show on earth for the public, and it's put on by the residents of New Orleans. It's not corporate sponsored. It's not, you know, it's not anything like that. It is really a community party. However, with that being said, I think that what the crew of Red Beans has done and what the crew of House Floats is doing is it's keeping the artists.
I have been fed, that's a fact.
I have been fed, that's a fact.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
No one else gets these rewards.
Sergeant, that is just plain untrue.
What in tarnation?
Sir, PenFed's PowerCash Rewards Card isn't just for military members. Anyone can get cash back on all purchases.
Ah, figgins! You've ruined my favorite song.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
For the ones who get going when the going gets tough, and the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you, so you can always depend on us. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's working that have been, you know, in jeopardy since the beginning of this thing. It is providing a way for people to still celebrate and for people to still enjoy the festivities. Look at the Christmas lights this year. I've got one house on one street that's about six blocks over from where I live. There has been a line of cars every night. Last night, Monday night, there was the super alignment of the stars that was happening between Jupiter and Saturn, and people were flocking to the levee. People were flocking to River Road to go out and see it.
It was an awesome sight.
So we're adapting, but we're also, I think, one of the best possible things that we're taking out of the COVID is to become neighborhood centric again. Mm-hmm. Understand your community, understand your neighborhood, the people that are around you, because quite frankly, you can vote in all the big national elections you want. What really matters is what's closest to you. That's what affects you the most.
And I have been an advocate since day one about supporting small local businesses and what they can do. And the Crew of Red Beans has really, you know, they've walked the walk and talked the talk since day one. So the fact that they're now extending this into something in addition to everything else they already did and still being able to make the spirit of Carnival alive. And the reason why I say it's something that can sustain past the COVID season once we get back to normal is, I mean, think about this. How many times has it been really cold outside and you're like, oh, I want to take the kids to the parade, but it's a little chilly, or, you know, it's now, of course, in really bad weather, they cancel the parades and they reschedule them. But I mean, if it's a little drizzly and a little cold, you don't want to take the little ones out. But guess what? You can put them in the car and drive around and look at those house floats. So I feel like this is something that can continue. And also it's extra revenue for these people. I mean, yeah, even though when things get back to normal and they're working on the floats and they're over at Mardi Gras World, I mean, this is just something extra that they can do. And of course, I mean, at this time, at this time of the year, you know, Mardi Gras doesn't end and start, I mean, begin and end at Carnival season. I mean, the day after Carnival season and Mardi Gras is over, Carnival season starts again for a lot of these people. I mean, right. They start taking down the floats. They start, you know, taking all the decorations and everything off, and then they start designing for the following year. So why not give them an extra outlet, one, for their creativity to be able to create and invent something, but two, give them some extra work to do because everybody's going to be playing catch up anyway. So I think it's a cool concept. I love it. I think it's awesome that they got volunteers and donations and continue to get people to donate even after the two projects that they did previously. So I think it's an amazing thing. I'd love to see it continue even once we do get back to normal with our regular scheduled rolling parades. I think it's a cool thing.
I think this city does a really good job of adapting the new concepts, and I think we'll probably see it going forward there. So
I like it.
I like Tina, I gotta tell you, I'm really excited. So today is Tuesday, Christmas is Friday. Do you know what also Christmas is this year?
Yes, the Saints are playing the Vikings.
Yeah, the Saints are playing the Vikings.
We've got to talk about the big elephant in the room.
We'll talk about that in a second, but it is opening day for your New Orleans Pelicans as well. Pelicans will open up against the Heat 11 a.m. on Christmas Day. So as you're still unwrapping the presents and all the craziness is going on.
Basting the ham.
Think about this, Tina. Here's what's got me excited, okay? I can wake up Christmas morning and I can sit with the kids, we can open the presents, and then right about the time that you're done, I can put on the Pelicans and I can watch the Pelicans open their season with a win, hopefully. And then right after that, I'm in pregame mode for the New Orleans Saints. There has never been a Christmas like that, has there?
No, not at all.
I think that has me more excited than Christmas itself. But I'm just saying, Pelicans, Saints, same day, Christmas Day. It is a miracle. I think the wise men have come early.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on here in the city. Christmas, Mardi Gras coming around the corner. We've got our Saints in the playoffs. We still don't know where we're going to be. We haven't locked up the division. I'm going to start with the good. We have five of our Saints players. Congratulations to them that are going to the Pro Bowl. I still think DeMario Davis being shunned is just an outrage. I don't know how he didn't get voted to the Pro Bowl, but congratulations to Cam Jordan, Alvin Kamara, Teron Armstead, Marshawn Lattimore, and Andreas Pete for making the Pro Bowl roster.
And
I'm sure
you left out the guy that I think really should have been. DeMario Davis does deserve it, but Trey Hendrickson.
T-Rex.
Oh,
T-Rex,
my
yeah.
gosh. How did that
leading the league in sacks. And yeah. It's crazy to me. But, you know, with injuries and as time goes on, the closer we get to the playoffs and things, players opt out. So we don't know what's going to happen. They may be named as alternates. I mean, we hope they're not playing at all, obviously, because we want to be playing in the Super Bowl. Right. But I do think that's just a horrible thing that they weren't named. They both have been playing lights out. Our defense was just absolutely phenomenal the other night. Absolutely phenomenal against the Chiefs. I mean, they just, there's no words. I just commend them. They just played just, I mean, balled out the entire game. And it just, oh man. All I wanted
this game showed you the, now I hate to do this, but yes, the Saints defense played well. And quite frankly, the Saints offense played well after the first quarter, but Patrick Mahomes is everything he is being billed to be. And I don't know how he does it, but the way he throws that football so accurately, so quickly, it is amazing to watch.
He's Drew, you know, 20 years ago. I mean, I've always said that about him. He reminds me about Drew. He reminds me of Drew Brees, and he's got the mannerisms, his vision on the field, just his ability to, you know, get out of situations and, like you said, get rid of the ball. I was impressed with their play, but for them to be this juggernaut and the reigning Super Bowl champions, and we only lost by 3 points.
They could
have won the game.
Well, I'll say this. One of the things that people who are watching the national broadcast, and I always listen to the radio, that was interesting to me is you had a fourth down situation. The Chiefs went for it on fourth down. And what happened on that fourth down? Do you remember? Their right guard ends up with the football. And what did they say? They said it's a penalty. You back up 5 yards, you punt the football. To me, that's the game. That's the play that wins the game, because the Saints had serious momentum at that point. The defense made a stop. The defense made a fourth down stop. What I think is really interesting, Zach Streif and Deuce McAllister, who do the play-by-play for the Saints on the radio, they made a good point. Zach Streif said, how do you allow a fourth down pass to a guard just be a penalty and you back it up? He said, if you were any team in the league going forward, would you not just do the same thing? He said, every other time it should be a loss of down because you've now made an incomplete pass. It's somebody who can't catch it. It's not a
penalty. And there was discussion about that.
Back up. It was a mess. The officiating.
Nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah,
nobody knew what was going on. People were tweeting. We were live tweeting during the game. They're like, what's going on? I'm like, well, it doesn't surprise me because the refs don't even know what a catch is anymore. So they're sitting there scratching their heads. And that game was just insane. It lasted way longer than it should have. There was crazy penalties, holding calls that weren't made. Anzalone, all you had to do was just follow that ball in the end zone. All you had to do. Cam Jordan gets ejected. I mean, it was the craziest game, and it felt like we got blown out at the end, and we really didn't. We lost by 3 points.
I'm not surprised. I think that the fans and people watching that game really got their money's worth. I think they enjoyed it. I think this is a team that is going to be really ticked off the rest of the season. And look, is it a preview of what we could see at the end of January,
Everybody
February?
Everybody seems to think so.
It could be. But I tell you what, the Saints played with heart because they never stopped in that game. They kept going.
And a lot of the national talking heads have said, you know, in years past, Drew and the offense always bailed us out of games and kept us in games. And in this case, obviously Drew was not 100%. The defense is what kept us in the game. Mike Thomas is on IR. We had Dante Harris was inactive. We had Traquan Smith go out with an injury. I mean, Drew was throwing to guys that had just got brought up, you know, to the active roster the day before. Which, I mean, honestly, I don't, you know, people are like, oh, he was throwing to scrubs. They're still NFL players. They're still professional players that get paid. And they made those rosters for a reason. So on game day, you're called up, you go out there, you do your job, you make the plays, you catch the balls. I understand it's not exactly what we plan for. And then here's another thing that was brought up. Jameis Winston was placed on the COVID list.
Yeah.
So think about our game plan. We have, you know, Drew starting, you know, Taysom as his backup. You know, Jameis was supposed to be active for that game. How much do you think the game plan had to change when they were going to utilize Taysom, but now Taysom is our active backup because you're going in without another backup quarterback with Jameis being out. So that's another factor you got to think about.
My honest opinion, even before the game, after the game, is that Drew Brees should not have started. However, once you started Drew Brees, and I can tell you, Tina, can I be honest? Can I be candid?
Yeah, of course. That's what we always are on this show.
The problem this week had nothing to do with Drew Brees. You had to know there was going to be rust there. You hear me hesitating. However, the coaching this week was atrocious on offense.
It was.
In the first half coaching of that team, you know Drew Brees is going to have rust. You know that you're without a backup true quarterback. You know, you can put Taysom Hill, but you could have done that at the beginning.
And you've got two healthy running backs that when they are given a chance, they're being effective. And at the end of the game, Alvin Kamara had less than 60 yards.
Right. Alvin Kamara's got less than 60 yards, and Latavius Murray's got nothing. And that's a guy that I think we have absolutely taken for granted. And people don't even realize how good he is, because we don't really give him the ball enough. He is a pound it up your behind kind of guy.
Yes. That's why he gets his name, L-Train. That's why everybody calls him that.
And we utilize it.
And somebody asked me, they said, is Jared Cook even playing? I'm like, gosh. Yeah. But
to me, when you start a game like that type of offense, first of all, I think the Saints made their first mistake in deferring. I think you take the opening kick against the Chiefs and you pound the ball down their throat. You keep that defense on the field and you move the ball as much as you can. However, we didn't play that way. And I understand Sean Payton's plan. And I don't question him. He has won a Super Bowl. I have won, let me count, 0. So I can't question it. But, oh my God. God, it made me so furious.
Yeah, it was frustrating to know, because I said, you know, you go into those games when you look at the schedule and you think, oh, you know, this might be the game we drop. And then of course we get on this win streak and, you know, everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. And of course Drew gets hurt and Taysom comes in, and then, you know, Taysom has some issues with ball security and control. And so Drew comes back. We're like, okay, he's not 100%. And Mike Thomas goes on IR. So you don't know really where it's okay. We've got a shot. You've got a shot no matter when you play, because it's the NFL. Anything can happen. You know, the Jets beat the Rams. I mean, nobody gave them a shot to win and they beat the Rams. So anything can happen on Sunday. That's why I said any given Sunday, but to lose in this fashion that we did with 3 points, when, like I said, if Anzalone falls on that ball, you know, we can win that game essentially, but providing it goes the same way and nothing changes.
I'm not angry about that. I think that the way that I feel about the game is the Saints play with heart. They put it all out on the field and we want to see that matchup again. Look, I don't really care. First of all, the NFL and this first 7-team playoff crap, I don't know what that's about, but whatever, because we're playing a full season. This isn't college football, for God's sake. This is NFL football, and we are playing the damn games. And you mean to tell me, and yes, I realize I'm getting upset here, but you know what? Bear with me. You mean to tell me you made the Broncos play without a freaking quarterback, but you cannot? You got to make sure that you let seven teams in the playoffs. We got to have an extra.
And then the number two seed loses the bye week because of it. And that's not fair. I mean, as a number two seed, you deserve that bye week.
I got no problem with it. Let's go. Let's do whatever. I don't care if the Saints finish 1, 2, 3, hopefully no lower.
Well, the good thing is this, Mike Thomas is expected to be back for the playoffs. We know that we're in the playoffs. If we win on Friday, Christmas Day, and beat the Vikings, we win the division. So 2 weeks later than we wanted to, 2 weeks later than we should have. But yes, we will, one, knock them out of the playoffs if we beat them, which of course that's, icing on the top, on the cake because we don't have the greatest history with the Vikings. So yes, right. If we win on Christmas Day, we take our division. We're the, 4 years in a row NFC South champions, and we knock the Vikings out of the playoffs.
We got two chances here to do it.
And we can do it. I know we can do it. We just need these guys to step up. I mean, Mike Thomas is not going to be there. Emmanuel Sanders was phenomenal. I've been happy. Jeff, kids about him being my man crush. But I mean, I knew what we had when we had the chance to sign him. And he's proven it every time he's gotten the opportunity to. So, these guys need to step up. I don't know if Traquan's going to be playing. I don't know, Tommy Lee Lewis. Everybody needs to step up, run the ball, be balanced, and win this game. Just get it done. We're going to be at home and in front of 3,000 fans, just get it done. Make it happen. Like I've been saying, what, one week at a time, one game at a time, just win, just make it happen. Handle business.
I'll take an NFC South championship for Christmas. I'm okay with that.
I mean, it should have happened against the Eagles and it didn't, and I'm not dwelling on it, but I mean, here it is. It's time to lock it up. Let's be done. We've got two games left. Let's just make it happen. It's time.
It is time to do it. And I think that, I think everybody will be watching Christmas Day. Let's see what happens against the Vikings. We still got the Panthers after that. I do want to give a quick shout out to a couple of things. Number one, the LSU Tigers that had such a horrific season. Not only do they defeat Florida on the crazy shoe play last week, but this week I think was one of the most exciting games in LSU history. Ole Miss and LSU go down to the wire. It is a 100-point game, and congratulations to Coach O for winning those last two games. Of course, what we've learned in the last couple of days is LSU has shed their defensive coordinator. There'll be some coaching changes, but kudos to Coach O for keeping that team fired up with everything he had to deal with. Number one, you lost all of your best players, number one. Number two, your second-tier players basically opted out for the season. And number three, you went through the SEC schedule, which is not easy ever. I think Coach O did a great job. And not only did he do a great job on the field, he did a great job once again as a representative of our state. I think it's so great to have a guy that really knows us because he is one of
us.
He's
a homegrown, yeah.
And he did a great job. And so I wanted to give a shout out to LSU. Thank you to all the players who really left it out on the field. I know there's no bowl game this year. I know there's no nothing else. That win against Ole Miss was exciting. It was impressive. And what you did against Florida, you showed heart in the last 2 weeks of a dead season. And that to me means more than almost anything else.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. It's all
saying it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So we can win our Tigers.
Thank you very much to LSU. The next note I want to make is I want to give a shout out to Christian Garrick. Christian Garrick is one of the mainstays at WWL Radio. He's been there for,
forever.
20 years now, right?
Like 20 forever, years. Yeah.
And Christian Garrick, we have been talking about, has been gone the last couple of weeks during the Saints broadcast. He is the afternoon sports show host, and he's been MIA, and we were all kind of trying to figure it out. Christian announced this week publicly that he was in AA. Christian, we all support you, and there are more of us who should be behind you and doing the same thing. And congratulations to you for being candid about it and really taking the steps to make yourself better. The last note I want to make, in this market in New Orleans, there has been a voice on the radio that was silenced this past Sunday. Mike Weldon was one of the most well-known traffic reporters / stand-up comedians / improv artists / radio hosts in this market for the last 20 years. And maybe everybody doesn't know who Mike Weldon was, but me, as somebody who was in that radio community, I knew him very well. And he's a guy that is irreplaceable. And I want to give a quick second to the fact that I know that the mayor of Munchkinland has now made his way upstairs. And thank you all for what you've done. Thank you for your participation in this market. Thank you for everything that you taught me and those who followed you. Real quick, if you've got a second to go onto YouTube and look up Mike Weldon and listen to some of his stuff that he did on the air in very serious bits, it's great stuff. So a couple of notes I wanted to close the show with, Dina.
Yes, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and to Christian as well. I sent him a message on Twitter and I commend him for coming forward. That's the first step, is to admitting that you have an issue and to publicly go on the air like he did and talk about it. I'm so proud of him and wish him the best in his recovery. So our thoughts and prayers go out to him as well, you know, while he goes through this. So I want to tell all our listeners, thank you so much again for joining us. We will be on a little break for the holidays, but we will see you after the first of the year. And of course, if you want to catch us online, and we will be giving y'all updates on everything that's going on, even though we actually won't be recording for the next week or so, but we'll be giving you updates on anything that changes as far as Mardi Gras parades, updates on the crew of Red Beans. Of course, I always live tweet during the games, but yes, we will see y'all in 2021, and we'll be kicking off 12th night, which is the kickoff of Mardi Gras. And of course, that week is playoffs, baby. Playoffs. Still don't know where we're going to be seated, but playoffs. It looks like we'll be playing that first weekend. So it's going to be exciting time here in New Orleans. So much going on. And of course, we have our fingers on all of it. We'll be tweeting about it, talking about it on the show. You can always hit us up on social media. We're always available to y'all. If you ever have any questions, comments, even criticisms, if there's something that you want to hear about, or you have a question or something you don't like, definitely let us know. We're always there and always have our ears open. And I am Tina. You can find me on Twitter at The Nola Girl, Twitter and Instagram. And our Floors Truly handle is at Floors_Truly. And you can tell everybody, Jeff, where they can find you online as well.
Wait, they can find me online? I just heard a LifeLock commercial about that a minute ago. Oh, wait a second. You mean like to message me and interact? Yes. You can interact.
All y'all need to go aggravate Jeff now.
You can interact with me on the Twitter sphere at the Nola Rola. And of course, you can find me on Facebook. It's Jeff Momus. This is the last time this year I'm going to spell it. MAUMUS. Look me up. Come and chat with us. Let's have a conversation. I want to involve you in this show as much as you involve us to be in your ears.
Yes, definitely. There's your New Year's resolution to not spell it anymore. So we are wishing everybody very, very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We will see you in 2021 on Floors Truly.
Happy New Year!
At Acuity Insurance, we believe the things you do for your business are heroic, and you deserve someone equally heroic to protect them. We put our all into covering your business so you can focus on the things you love most. That's the power of heart. Acuity Insurance, wholeheartedly for you. At Acuity Insurance, we believe the things you do for your business every day are nothing short of heroic. And you deserve someone equally heroic to protect them. Like the breaking ground on new construction things, the every box and barcode matters things, and the driving the family business forward things. We put our all into covering your business so you can focus on the things you love most. That's the power of heart. Acuity Insurance, wholeheartedly for you.